call. It's about the number I was expecting. Of course, we could have some outside people that are affecting those numbers, but in our time being 106, I feel good enough to go ahead and try to call us to order. So I'll say that we're called to order at 106, and I'm going to try to get a quorum for each board. If we don't have a quorum, any particular board will hold tight on your items and come back, circle around later, and see if we could get a quorum. So I'll start with Citrus. And if you would just please unmute your mic if you're on Citrus and say present or here or whatever when I call your name, that would be great because I'm going to be counting to find at least four Citrus members right now. So do I have Ms. Johnson?
Present.
Ms. Ponzio?
Present.
Ms. Ruggie?
Present.
Ms. Schlatter?
I'm here.
Dr. Schurenz?
Present.
Mr. Solomon?
Here.
Mr. Vodder. Okay, so far I don't hear Dawn. If your mic is muted or something, you can jump in and let me know later if you're on. But for now, I have six Citrus members, so we definitely have a quorum for Citrus. Citrus, you could mute again for us if you don't mind, and let's switch to Empire. Mr. Cowett?
Present.
Ms. Large?
Present.
Ms. Mendez-Cantu, I know you'd said earlier that you could.
I think you could hear me now. I think
there
I figured
you are,
out.
There you are. I see you.
Yay,
and great.
Thank you.
Ms. Nagelhort. Yes, she's here. Mr. Rodriguez. He told me he could not come. Mr. Schneider. Craig, are you on the line? You told me you were coming. Okay, again, I don't hear from Craig, but if you're just muted or something and you're able to unmute later, let me know so I can count you in the vote. And Ms. Avila?
Present.
Okay, great. So Empire has a quorum. Thank you. You all can mute. River? Mr. Burke? Carl, I know you're here.
Here.
Okay, there you are. Ms. Couch?
Present.
Mr. Darrow? Okay, same thing. If you're just somehow muted, let us know if you hop on. Ms. Johnson?
I'm here.
Ms. Thompson?
Here.
Mr. Vila?
Here.
Mr. Wadlington? I don't hear from Reggie, but again, if you're on, let us know later. I have a quorum already for River, so we're good. Okay, River, you can mute. We'll do this again for Harbor, please. Ms. Darrow? Don't hear. Dr. Hawks?
Here.
Ms. LeCount?
Present.
Mr. Moldenhauer? Okay, I don't hear from him. Ms. Rivas?
Here.
Mr. Swank?
I'm here.
Okay, great. Everybody has a quorum. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Is there anybody on the line who's a member of the public who wished to address us during public comments today? Hearing none, I'll move on to Kathleen. Kathleen, it's just your time for the superintendent's report.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Nope.
Yes. I can hear you, Kathleen. I can see you.
I can hear you. You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So sorry about technical difficulties. It's always really fun in that way. I appreciate hearing about that trick, Michelle, or whoever it was that told us about the Control D. And I guess it's a toggle. It toggles you on or off in terms of mute. Because sometimes it's hard to get the status bar at the bottom of your screen to come up, especially when your internet is slow. And many of our internets, I don't know if you guys have experienced the same thing, but... Mike just said Control E will turn off your camera. Okay, so if you've experienced the same thing, but our internet seems to be running slower at certain times of the day, you know, because everybody in the world is on the internet, right? And this has been a very, very amazing time in the history of my life. Definitely, I think all of us have seen nothing like this over the over our lifetimes. And we are really kind of trying to find our way. We luckily, Springs Charter Schools, in terms of our ability to move directly into distance learning, is much better off than most district schools, most traditional schools of any sort, because already, you know, a third of our kids are getting their education via homeschool or distance learning methods. So they already had access to all of our online products. Some of them didn't use them very often, but when we could see the handwriting on the wall about a week before we decided to close school, we started to really up our efforts with our families to ensure that they knew how to log on to Canvas, how to get access to all of our resources in our toolbox, and all of those things. We could see that maybe there was going to be a reason for more kids to stay at home. We didn't know it was going to be like what it is, but we could see that. In terms of our academies, they have really amazingly quickly transitioned to distance learning. We, like I said, about a week before the shutdown, we had the principals working with all of their teachers to figure out how they were going to provide education if everybody was at home. And so we already had a week's worth of planning before we actually closed our student centers. And so that put us that far ahead of the game. All of our teachers, I included on your link, or what Natalie put it in the packet, it's the teacher expectations for home study. Those are really, that was just a beautiful infographic that our instructional education team created. It clarifies what our academy teachers are expected to do in this new normal until our centers open back up. So that is, so I just thought that you should see, because it really kind of shows that we're doing a robust educational program at home with our academy students, and our teacher is working with their ACE to ensure that all those things are being done. Students are getting contacted every day. Their work is being reviewed every day. The instructional aide, the ACE, is making appointments for intervention, small groups or individual student interventions over Hangout or via the phone. So all in all, we're really well established to ensure our own students' success during this period. Auxiliary to this is the fact that for a variety of reasons, it has become clear that we should close our school in terms of mandatory attendance because of the state because of the way the state, there's just a lot of factors. We can talk about that when that agenda item comes up. But we see that there were a lot of people who were trying to enroll with us, and people were panicked. People had nothing coming from their district schools. They didn't know what to do with their kids. They were desperate that they wanted their kids to continue to, they want to do some activities with the kids. They don't know what to do. A lot of educational companies have opened their content, which is fantastic, but it doesn't necessarily help the parent know what of that content to have the child do. You know, how does a parent know what a fourth grader should be, you know, doing for a day's worth of school or a week's worth of school? So we decided, in light of the fact that we were closing enrollment because we are closing our school for attendance purposes, we're closing, not for educational purposes. So we decided to see what we could do about opening a free public access classroom for every grade level. so that parents that were calling that we couldn't enroll because we've stopped enrollment could actually have a stuff to do with their kids while during this COVID safer at home order. So we did that, and the instructional support team pulled out all the stops. They worked really feverishly over the past week to pull together a course for kinder through eighth grade plus high school. Not that high school will probably get very used, because most high school students aren't going to want to do work that's not associated with credit, earning credits. But they these courses are available. They're manned by credentialed teachers in that grade level. Those credentialed, two credentialed teachers, one for math, one for reading, and those teachers doing live classes every day. And that through Big Blue Button through, and then the Canvas course has the whole week's worth of instruction plus parent guide, answer key, et cetera. So we rolled that out yesterday. We've already had hundreds of signups. I don't know, maybe 1,000 signups by now. And that even actually when we opened it without email. They didn't need to put in their email or zip code. And so we don't even know how many did that for the few hours before TJ got it together to have a filter, ask them for a little information about themselves before they got access. So it's a great resource for students throughout the state or throughout the nation even, who need a classroom environment. But it's also, we're also would like to make it available to teachers who are not, or who don't know what to do about their own class, if they're at the traditional district or a private school or whatever, and they need to be able to figure out how to offer school in the virtual domain over these next few weeks. So I guess it's been really hectic. I know there's been all these memes on Facebook about how people are bored out of their minds, like, all, you know, time to create, you know, jigsaw puzzles, et cetera. I don't think our senior team and our leadership team anyway has been, I don't think anybody at our school has been bored. So there has been no boredom yet. Once we get all this really second nature, I think things will calm down and people will have free time again. Because right now we really just haven't even had free time. But anyway, so I guess that if any questions, I'm happy to answer. By the way, another thing to mention is that we are continuing with food service. Everybody who drives through our centers, I think we have like 10 or 12 centers where we're doing the food service, and they can drive through every, get a meal for every child from 1 to 18, and a breakfast for the next day. And so that's been a real fantastic service for our families. We're getting a lot of appreciation about that. People are struggling. Some people are really struggling financially through this. And so it's been a blessing for them. And certainly we have everything together to do it. So why not do it? And we're going to continue this through our spring break as well.
Kathleen, I have a question.
Sure.
Are we continuing to get our ADA at 100%?
Yes. So the state has given all the schools relief from the ADA issue by saying that we are going to. So if you put in that you've stopped enrollment, that's one of the reasons why we're doing this resolution, just to make sure we've dotted our I's and crossed our T's. We get our ADA, our P2 ADA is identified as the February 29th date. So even though many students stopped attending school in early March because of this corona scare, we won't get a negative impact from that reduction in attendance during the early days of March. So our P2, that's how we're paid for the whole year, is based on P2. It's the most important financial date of our calendar. Tanya can explain it better than me. I give you the very high level overview, but and Amy too. But anyway, so that's basically, we're going back to February 29th. So we will not get a hit. We'll still get the same money that we expected based on our enrollment on the 29th of our attendance as of the 29th of February.
Okay, so you said some kids dropped out. Are you referring to the whole entire state or our school?
All the schools across the state had lower attendance in March, not dropping out, just not going to school because they were worried about their kids getting sick.
Okay.
So attendance, the child has to attend, even if they're enrolled with you, if the child doesn't attend, you don't get paid for that child. So that's why we do this calculation called average daily attendance. So one child can be one ADA if they attend every day of school, but they could also be a 0.7 of an ADA if they only go to 70% of the classes up until P2. If the child, even in a normal year, if the child doesn't come back to school for every day after P2, we don't get a negative hit from our revenue.
Right. Right. Okay.
Or so if we enroll a child after P2, we don't get a positive hit for our revenue.
Right.
But we
right.
continue to do it because we're a public school and because we have the teachers and the classroom and all of that stuff. So we do enroll normally after P2. But now that we're closed for attendance.
So have we had to lay off anybody?
No, we have not laid anybody off.
Okay.
And in fact, you can see when we're talking about these next couple of agenda items, we'll address those specifics as to why we're doing the things that we're doing in terms of the extra 10 days of paid leave.
Can I go next? This is Gene.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I wanted to approach this as a parent and not as a board member for a second here. So, take this with a grain of salt. Of course, transition for everybody has been really, really difficult moving from, in person to remote. One of the things that I've noticed with my kids who are at iShine, for those of you that don't know, is that they've had a lot of issues with communication. My kids don't really know what they're supposed to do a lot of the time for two reasons. So the younger kids apparently don't use Canvas, is what we were told. My younger kids, they said, we don't use Canvas. And then for the older kids, I think they could use a little bit more training, let's just say, on how to set it up and make sure the resources are available there. It was confusing and it's a lot. Even I couldn't figure it. I sat down with my older son for a while and could not figure out what they were supposed to be doing. Communication with the teacher was pretty rough during the first week. Feels like at this point it's getting much better and they're starting to finally get their groove. So of course, as I'm sure you can imagine, it's going to be tough transitioning that first week, but it's just wanted to put that in as some feedback and just like a refresher course on Canvas and making sure those resources are available could be one of the things we found that's been really helpful. Once again, speaking as a parent here, is some of the teachers have begun to do live classes, which has been like amazing, right? That's been, it's the kids can socialize, the teachers are having open dialogue with the kids to make sure to answer their questions, that kind of stuff. That's been really, really helpful. But when it's kind of like do it yourself kind of thing for kids that don't know how to homeschool and parents that don't know how to homeschool, it's been challenging for us to try to learn how do you homeschool your kid when you have no idea what you're doing. So I
100% hear you, Gene, and I will say one thing about iShine. iShine, keep in mind, Sue Miller Hurst ran that program, and she was not a tech person. She didn't really believe in tech. There wasn't a lot of a tech basis, I thought that every single one of our academy teachers had Canvas set up because this is part of our audit process. Every teacher has Canvas set up and they post their lesson plans every week. And this is part of the way the auditor checks our programmatic audit every year. So I will look into that. It may be that the Canvas course was just not open to the parents and the students for the primary grades at iShine. But I hear what you're saying, and I absolutely would have imagined that iShine would be the weakest in terms of the technological transition, because they just aren't very, they don't spend a lot of time on the tech in those classrooms.
Thank you. And then once again, I want to say iShine, I love it. It's amazing.
Yeah, of course.
That's cool. It's just the transition has been a little bit.
It's hard. And nobody signed up for this. When you signed up for iShine, you wanted 4 days in the classroom. And I hear you. And we've got DaVinci and other programs that are 5 days in the classroom. And so this has been a, you know, tougher transition for some programs than it has for others. So I'm sorry about the lack of communication, but we are really attempting to, you know, kick up the communication, because what we don't want to do is avoid communication during this time because we think everybody is being inundated. There is a temptation, especially when I'm being inundated with communication, to think that everybody is. But it's important for us to keep reminding parents and keep reiterating our message to our families during the time, this time.
Kathleen?
Yes.
I would say, as a parent with a son still in the high school system, right, the teachers have remarkably stepped up to this, from what I've seen, setting up Zoom meetings, setting up online classes, and they're 100% there for the kids right now, from what I'm seeing. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
And that's from Temecula Student Center?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. And especially the older kids are more, you know, more savvy.
And I'm also, this is Jamie Thompson, an iShine parent and a teacher in a traditional public school. And I would just like to say, from a Canvas perspective, I do think iShine has struggled a little bit. But as far as communication, I have been doing nothing but bragging to other parents and my coworkers, because I feel extremely disconnected from my own students. So comparative to what's happening outside Springs, you guys are doing a phenomenal job. So thank you.
Kathleen, I don't know if you saw the chat question, but Tracy wanted to know what we would do with the 1,000-plus students that are temporarily with us right now through Open Classroom, what we would do about that in the fall.
Oh, well, so this is the thing about it, and this is one of the reasons why we decided to do this, we know that for many of these families, they have no interest really in homeschooling. They're just wanting to figure out what to do during this period of time in which, you know, we're all sheltering at home. And so the idea of getting them enrolled, getting them a bunch of curriculum for a time period in which we wouldn't be able to gain any ADA from them, and also it would put a strain on our teachers, our existing teachers, plus we have the other issues with special ed initial assessments and everything else that has to happen with those students who come in with special ed needs. It was just not going to work. We weren't going to be able to enroll 1,000 students this week. And our current existing teachers be able to integrate those kids into their classes. So that's why we went ahead with this option, because we wanted to continue to provide. We were in a position to be able to provide. So we decided to capture their email address and their zip code so that we could market to those kids eventually and say, hey, if you liked this, if you, you know, like our school and have a center nearby or whatever, you might consider enrolling with us. And we definitely will do that. But there are a lot of people that are signing up too that have zip codes that we don't serve. So, you know, so for those kids, we wouldn't be marketing to them. So that's kind of why we decided to capture the email and zip code. So, yeah, one from Japan, Amy says. So.
Okay.
Any other questions, Natalie, that you can see?
I didn't see any more in the chat. Anybody's welcome to speak up, or we can move on.
Oh, it's Chuck. Chuck asked that question, not Tracy.
Yes, I saw that after the fact. I think Tracy's on the phone and Chuck's on the computer, I think. We're here today. Okay, we'll go ahead and move on to the closure resolution for Citrus Springs. So Citrus, I guess you can go ahead and unmute if you don't mind. That would be fabulous. I do need a vote for everybody. When is your turn? We will need a motion and a second, and then we'll just do a roll call vote. So could I get a first a motion for the approval of the school closure resolution for Citrus Springs, please? And identify yourself by name, please, so that I have the record correct.
I'll motion.
Okay. I think I heard Sarah motion. So I have a second.
I'll second.
Okay, Jolene, I've got you down for the second. Okay, Kathleen, do you want to explain the resolution a little bit?
Yeah, I will. So this basically is the remedy that the state of California is allowing for schools during this time. It is a special thing. It's not a normal waiver for closing school due to if we had an earthquake right under our center or something and our center fell into it overnight, you know, then we would close our school using a special waiver form that the state has. But this isn't that. This is like a blanket waiver allowing us to freeze our P2ADA back at February 29th. And so that it won't hurt our revenue for the rest of the year. And one thing that it allows us to do, another reason why we've decided to go ahead and use this, state, I think it was, Tanya, SB 17, or the special executive order.
Yes.
And so, one of the reasons we decided to use this is because of particular timelines for testing for English learners and for special ed students. We have certain federally mandated testing deadlines and windows that we get freed up from if we're not actually accepting attendance. We're not open for attendance purposes. So we can still continue to provide educational services as we have before, but we're not making attendance mandatory. And we are encouraging kids to attend. We can continue to provide credits to students as they pass their mastery assignments in high school, but we are not making it mandatory at this moment. And this helps us, it gives us more leeway with our special ed timelines, or special ed testing, which we cannot really reasonably do over the internet, and our English language learner testing timelines. If we stayed open and didn't use this special allowance, then we would be out of compliance with our English language learner assessments and our special ed assessments and IEPs, triennial assessments and things like that. We are still continuing to hold IEP meetings. However, not all parents are willing or able to meet virtually. So this just frees us up for those families who don't feel comfortable. We can wait until the shelter in place order is lifted and have their meeting later. So any questions about any of that from any of our board members? CASP testing has been canceled for the year.
I have a question on the executive order, the second document in the closure, the authorization to provide board president. Is that part of the closure?
Sorry, say again.
The executive order. Authorization to provide board president and the executive director authority to unilaterally take any and all necessary actions. Can you provide some background on that? Is that part of the school closure item that we're discussing?
Yes, that is. I think that is part of the resolution. Is it not?
It is. It is part of the resolution. That resolution was provided to us by CCSA. Obviously, I personalized it for our schools.
Right.
But the language came directly to us from CCSA.
Okay, well, I have two questions, which I guess are maybe a concern. The authorization is very broad, and I'm curious as to why we extend these powers through December 31st, 2020.
I think the reason for December is because we do not know how long we're going to be staying home. Let's hope and pray that it's not through December. How are we, you know, this would not be good if we continue that long. But yeah, I think that's why.
My understanding is that the powers would remain in effect no longer than that without a new resolution, but only for the sake of, because this is a school closure resolution. It's not, you know, a broad stroked one that would then still be in place once we were back in.
Right.
Yeah, I guess the concern is if I'm on a board and I essentially relinquish my powers to the president and you, Kathleen, is can you make a broad personnel or budget decision that I don't even necessarily have the opportunity to get informed before the decision is made?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I guess it would only be a decision that pertains to the shutdown. So in other words, if we decide to shift $1 million from one bucket of funds to another in order to provide better distance learning education during this shutdown, because like, let's say we're talking about, we're taking the money from field trips, events, and activities and moving it over to increased, internet bandwidth or computer purchases or whatever, then that would be the kind of thing that we could do because it is specifically to meet the needs of students during this shutdown, you know. But I would say anything that wasn't directly related to the needs of employees or students during this shutdown would not be allowable.
And then I guess my request would be that if a decision is made that is material, and you know, I'll let that word hang, can we have essentially a gentle person's agreement that the board president would be obligated to communicate with his board or her board in as timely a fashion as possible?
I think that's reasonable. I mean, I know that it may feel like we waited too long to contact you guys about this specifics, but I will tell you, it has been a heck of a week. It's been only 1 week, and every day we've gotten new information, and it's been hard to determine what we were going to do moving forward. But now that we actually know, based on attorney recommendations. We had a long talk with Lisa Kaur from Young, Mini, and Kaur, just one-on-one with her to try to say, like, what are the pros and cons of all of this? What does this mean to us? You know, in some ways, CCSA would like all the charters to remain open and not take these states opt out like we are asking you to resolve to do, because it would look good to the state of California that the charters remained open. But we are remaining open for educational purposes. We are also still serving kids for special ed to the extent that we can. So nothing has changed other than the reduction of the little bit of leeway for timelines and testing that we just absolutely cannot do. And we have to protect the organization from from what these lawsuits that could come up based on federal, and the federal are not, they are not quick to provide any flexibility to the IDEA, which is the special ed federal mandates. And even in Katrina, even in H1N1, all these things that have caused a lot less concern than this one, they do not provide any leeway. So we just have that history, and Lisa Kaur was clear. She thought we would be better off, safer to close for
attendance. Yeah, I agree.
And but in order to preserve our in order to preserve our reputation as a charter school who cares about students and continues to serve students even through thick and through thin, like we are, we decided to do this open classroom program, and as well as obviously continuing to serve our own kids at a high level. So,
yeah. Well, I'm glad you're the one that's having to make the decisions.
Well, it's taken a village. I'll tell you, my senior team has been, every single person has been doing, working straight out, working flat out on this, because it has required so many departments and all the information from so many different departments, and we're reading through these legal and health manifestos. It's been crazy. We have had hours of meetings over this last week to, as each new thing hit. So I really appreciate my team. We have a fantastic team at Springs. Our senior leadership is just, you guys have the best leadership team. You really do. So
thanks for that discussion.
Is there anything else? I haven't been following the chat. Anything else on the chat, everybody?
I think Amy's catching us up and answering some questions. There was a question about high school graduation.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so I guess everybody wants to know about how this is going to affect the dashboard, the testing, and the graduation. Well, for us, we don't know what's going to happen with graduation for the state. It is unprecedented. So I can't imagine they're going to not allow these kids to graduate. But what some people are talking about is they will just take the grades as of February 29th and then say the kid gets full credit for that course. I mean, that's the kind of rumor that I'm hearing, but there has been no specific advice or, everybody's feeling their way. For us, it's business as usual. We're telling our seniors, you need to get your, all of these assignments are electronic anyway. All of our high school students use our electronic Canvas courses. Our teachers are still providing all the teaching and support live and, with pre-recorded classes, as well as all the feedback. They turn their work in via the online Canvas gradebook. They turn it in and they get their grades and feedback through that. So as far as we're concerned, business as usual. We're just trying to ride herd on these students to make sure they're keeping up with their credit attainment. So that's important. In terms of the dashboard, it is going to be a different dashboard next year. Nobody is going to have assessment data from CAS. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what we're doing. The biggest concern I have with this is Pacific Springs, because Pacific Springs is up for renewal next year because they received a 3-year charter. So we won't have any state data for the second year to show on renewal. So we're going to have to show iReady data. iReady data, if the kids are taking the iReady assessment at home, even if our ACEs are proctoring the assessment through, you proctor you app or something,
we will still, it's still not valid and reliable when they're at home, you know, not nearly as valid and reliable as if they're at school. So, you know, what can we do? We are going to do the third window of our milestone, our benchmark assessment, which is iReady. We're going to do that, but the data will be a little suspect. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, that's. So is there anything else that people are bringing up?
This is Charlene.
Yeah.
To follow up on Carl's question, was that December 31st? I have a couple. Was that date given to us by CCSA?
Yeah.
Resolution, yes.
Because, you know, that was a concern. And you're right. If it goes that long, we might as well just, you know, hunker down and forget school anyway. But I have a couple of concerns. Is authorize Kathleen to do anything? I mean, really, Kathleen, doesn't everything you do have to do with education of our students? I mean, it seems like that's a really broad brush to paint with.
Well, we generally don't make decisions, big sweeping decisions like this in a vacuum if we're making a big change to something the way that we do our educational program. Right now, we have. This last week, we have made already made decisions, big decisions that we normally wouldn't make without board approval in advance. So, I mean, but we've had to because it's been a weird situation. So I guess that's what this is getting at.
Okay. And number two says by unanimous vote. Like, what's the unanimous vote? The boards? Or is that just a superfluous word in there?
Oh, I missed that.
Number two, it says by unanimous vote.
Sorry, I'm not looking at the thing. Natalie, can you tell me?
Yeah, I don't have that screen pulled up either because I have my minute screen pulled up and the chat screen here pulled up.
Tanya or Amy, can you look at that?
I can switch screens and pull it up and look, so give me a second here.
It just says by unanimous vote authorizing execution of contracts and test the amounts outlined in the policy to respond to the emergency conditions at the charter school. And authorize, and I'm just wondering if we don't get it unanimous. That's all. It's just a question.
Yeah, that's a good call.
If people want to amend a motion here, we could, strike that word. We could say that we're approving it with the, instead of it saying unanimous, it could say majority vote.
Well, we could leave it at unanimous and then strike it if one of the boards is not unanimous.
Yeah, I'll go with
amend it. Amend it for the vote.
Okay.
Maybe they just felt that was a stronger wording, like it's clear to the state we all stand united in this requirement that we have this leeway.
And the reality, if I can add to that, Kathleen, is that this resolution is really intended to give you quick acting powers to deal with this rapidly changing situation. It's not intended to give you carte blanche to rule the world. So if she had to make an emergency decision, for instance, if we had to sanitize or deep clean one of our locations, I assure you it would be over $50,000. This resolution authorizes her to make that happen and to allow me to sign it and make that move forward. So it's giving her the authority to deal with this situation because the timing of some of the dynamics that she may have to address, quite frankly, have to be dealt with quicker than the time it takes to rally a board together.
Okay.
Because by the time she has drafted an email, the circumstances have already changed since the email was drafted. That's how fast this has been moving over the last 2 weeks.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
The boards have the rest of senior staff here too to balance that too. So Kathleen doesn't do anything blindsided or in a vacuum. So you have to have that level of comfort too that you have the rest of your senior team here as well.
Right. Most definitely. And then that would just then be brought for ratification, right? At a later
correct.
Date. Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
I also want to mention, I've had a chance during that conversation to kind of look at some of the chat things. Yes, in terms of graduation, our graduation ceremony is June 13th. I have no idea, but I really hope that we'll still be able to have our graduation ceremony on June 13th. So that's what I'm hoping for. I know that my son, I wasn't planning on attending our graduation because my son is graduating from UC Santa Cruz. It happens to be on the exact same day, exact same time, and we couldn't change ours. And of course, they're not going to change theirs for me. But now they're not having theirs, so I'll be at our own graduation if we have it. But we're still, you know, I was sort of thinking wouldn't it be great if we could, you know, combine a little prom with the graduation ceremony, and so that we could. Because the kids really, we're trying to postpone or, you know, hold off on canceling things as opposed to just canceling everything and saying to the seniors, you know, tough luck, you guys, getting nothing. Also, just wanted to mention that our Learning Center staff are teaching the children live via either Big Blue Button or Zoom. So the kids in our homeschool learning centers are still getting to see their friends and be on the virtual environment during this slowdown or shutdown. And also we have been doing lots of trainings. Our instructional support team has had lots of trainings on how to use Zoom, Big Blue Button, and our Canvas, different Canvas tools for live teaching and for recording lessons. For use later. So it's been just really a team effort, and I'm just really proud of the staff. Everybody stepped up to the plate, you know.
Kathleen, this is Rachel. I have a question about counseling. Are the students who were receiving regular counseling still able to continue their counseling services through Zoom?
Yes, the counselors are still working. Psychologists are still working. So all services. I mean, we've tried to figure out a way that we could support these kids, you know, from distance and from distance means. And so it's been a real exercise in creativity.
Yes.
But our goal is our goal is to pay every single one of our employees. During this time, we don't want any of our regular employees, obviously not subs and temps, but all of our regular employees, even if they're a 10 hour a week or a 30 hour a week or a full-time person, to get the pay that they expected to get from us. And so we're bending over backwards trying to figure out exactly what they can do, except we don't want people just sitting home doing nothing and getting paid. That's not fair to our employees who are working and getting paid. So we're not going the district route where we're just paying people to sit home and do nothing. We feel that we are evolved beyond that, and we don't have to do that because we don't have collective bargaining and unions that we're dealing with. So
great. Thank you.
Kathleen, this is Dean Swank. I just wanted to add something along those same lines. How important I think that it is that you guys are actually doing that, doing your best to keep people employed. In the business world here, it's been a nightmare the last couple of weeks. I have many friends that have had to have layoffs, you know, to the magnitude of 400 to 500 people in their organizations. It's been pretty nasty, you know, when you open the door. So the fact you guys are doing that and not adding to the 1 million people that I think were filed for unemployment the last 2 weeks, just in California alone, is pretty amazing. So I commend you guys for that. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Hey, are we ready to take a vote on Citrus for the resolution? Okay, I already have a motion and a second, so basically it's just going to be a roll call. Citrus, if you could say aye if you are in support of this. And before I go through the roll call, John Vodder, were you able to join us? I don't think so. So I'll just go ahead and call last names of the remaining members, please. Johnson.
Hi, Julie.
Alzio. Charlene, are you? Oh, she. I saw her walk away from her computer. I'll come back to her. Ms. Ruggie.
Hi, Lauren.
Schlatter.
Hi, Sarah.
Assurance.
Hi.
Solomon.
Hi.
And Charlene, did you come back? I'll have her confirm her vote at the end before I record it. Okay. So, Citrus, you can be done, and we'll move on, if we could, please, to Empire. I need a motion and a second, please.
Motion.
Who was second. That? Okay, Diane, you were the motion?
Yes.
Okay, great. Who was my second?
Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you. Okay, now we'll just do a roll call vote. Before I do that, I want to confirm, Jason Rodriguez, you were not able to join us. Is that correct? Okay, and what about Mr. Schneider? I don't think he's with us either. Okay, so if you support this vote, please say aye after I call your last name. Paulette?
Aye.
Large?
Aye.
Mendez Cantu?
Aye.
Nagelvort?
Aye.
Vila?
Aye.
Perfect. So that passed. Okay, you all can mute if you'd like. We're going to move on to Harbor. Harbor, as always, you're going to have to do this three times for me. We're going to have to do this separately for each of your boards. So could I get a first for Harbor? Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies. We're moving on to River. Sorry. Got ahead of myself here. So River.
Could I move.
Okay, Carl?
Second. Rachel, second.
Great. Okay. Stephen Darrow, were you able to join us? No? Okay. And Reggie, he can't speak, but he can hear, and he is letting me know. Through my phone here. So by last name, please say aye if you are in support of this vote. Burke?
Aye.
Couch?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Vila? I think it's going to be on chat. Okay, and Reggie is aye. Motion carries for River. Okay, River, you can mute if you want. Back to Harbor again. Sorry, Harbor, three votes for you all. Let's get Harbor's motion for me, please.
So moved, Cheryl.
Cheryl?
I'll second.
Jean? Okay, I have Jean and Cheryl. Before I call names, let's see. Was Marlene Darrow able to join us? How about Justin Moldenhauer? Okay, calling the remaining names, please say aye if you're in support of this vote. Hawks?
Aye.
LeCount?
Aye.
Rivas?
Aye.
Swank?
Aye.
Okay, Harbor, stay with me. Let's do Pacific, please. A motion and a second?
Second.
Jean, gotcha. Okay, and Pam, my second? Okay. Roll call vote again. Sorry for the repetitive stuff here. Hawks?
Aye.
LeCount?
Aye.
Rivas?
Aye.
Swank?
Aye.
Great. Motion carries for Pacific. Let's do it again for Vista, please. Motion?
Second.
Okay, Cheryl, got you for the second. Okay. Hawks?
Aye.
LeCount?
Aye.
Rivas?
Aye.
Swank?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries for that. Very good. Charlene, you're calling me on my phone. I'll call you after the meeting, or I'll chat with you here on the screen. Sorry. We can move on, please, to the ratification of the 10 extra sick days. We'll start with Citrus. I'll take a motion and second, and then Tanya can talk about it, please. So, Citrus, could I get a motion and a second?
So moved, Mike.
Second, Mike.
Okay, I got my two mics going. Okay, Tanya, you're up. Tanya, are you with us?
I can talk about it if
you're
good.
I would just have to unmute myself, you know. No one ever asks me to unmute. So anyway. Oh, Dealing with the situation, this is obviously an extraordinary situation, this COVID-19 pandemic or crisis. So in looking at it, and Kathleen discussing with some of our other charter leader friends, some of our other charter leader friends were going ahead and issuing out additional time off, such as this. It's not, again, a vacation time, which has a personal property value and accrues a liability on our books. And it's not sick time that's going to feed into the retirement pension, or nor is it going to feed into additional sick time accruals, et cetera. But it's intended to be personal leave that individuals can take. Because we have truly tried to make sure that everyone is fully employed to the extent that their skill set allows and that their ability to work remotely allows, there are still some people who, quite frankly, their children are at home or their spouse is at home and they have other obligations that they need to take care of and they can't accept that work. So in light of that, and in light of the fact that this is such an extraordinary event and individuals may not have the level of sick time on the books or what have you that they can utilize, we wanted to provide a level of comfort to our staff and to provide that to where they could focus in on what they needed to do, focus in on their families or their work or whatever it may be. So by granting these 10 additional days based on the full-time equivalent status, so if someone is a full-time employee, meaning they're working 40 hours a week, then they would receive the 10 days. If they're a 20-hour-a-week employee, then they would receive, of course, 5 days. So that was the whole premise behind this. We don't anticipate that it's going to be a significant cost to the organization. Certainly our hope is that most people are using it during this crisis time. And as Kathleen has indicated, we have no idea how long that's going to last. So we hope it's sooner rather than later, but this could linger for some time. So it's providing just, again, a level of comfort because Springs does have heart and we want to make sure that we're walking the walk and we're doing what we say we're doing. So this not only felt right, it made sense from a business perspective. And I'm happy to present this to you. We are tracking this separately, so it will not intermingle with any existing leave that is out there. Are there any questions I can answer about this?
I have a question. If they do not use it during this time, can they use it later?
Yes. Originally, we thought we would make it expire to where it was just a finite time period. But then as we were thinking through it, we thought, well, you know, some people might not need it right now. So we're going to be very generous in this, and there is no expiration date. But should they leave Springs prior to consuming all of the time, then again, there's no cash value to it. It doesn't roll with the sick time, and it wouldn't go towards the pension should they retire.
I have a quick question. This just brought up another thought I was having here. So how do we get substitute teachers if the teacher is taking time off? I was just wondering about that.
Well, if they need to deal with situations currently now, we have a lot of flexibility where we can work with that. But you can see in the current considerations portion, if the time is not used during this current crisis or pandemic and they want to use the time after the fact, we're very realistic in that there's an impact to the classroom. So they have to work directly with their administrator to do what needs to happen for any kind of time off to occur. And that same, you know, questions asked according to the FAQ that you have behind you would be a little different outside of the crisis. So we've designed a provision for that, and we'll monitor that closely.
Okay.
You're welcome.
One thing to note is that, you know, one of the big reasons we get substitute during the regular year is for supervision of children. I mean, obviously it's for education of children, but primarily when you have a substitute for a day, it's to supervise the children at school that day. And if any education happens, it's gravy. We're just happy about it, right? But, you know, the sub is never going to be as good as the real teacher. But during this period of time, we don't really have to get sub because we're not supervising the children, but the principal will ensure that the education continues for those kids with the help of the ACE and any other support staff on staff. You know, if the teacher has to be off for a few days because of illness,
or family situation or something like that. So we're going to make sure there's coverage, but it won't be substitute teacher coverage.
I have a question, Tanya, Kathleen, I don't know. If for some reason we find out that somebody on staff ends up testing positive or something, is there either a state allowance or some kind of allowance for extended leave for them where, where it's not this, where it's not this 10 days?
Well, should someone actually test positive, there's very, very specific protocol in place to address it. We have HIPAA violations. We have all those different protections that need to be addressed. Now, if that's obviously a medical situation, so there would be that appropriate type of leave available to them, FMLA, if they qualify for it. You know that there's recent legislation that came into play, but that's for smaller employers that basically extend FMLA across the board, but we're already subject to it. So ultimately, there are options available to them, and things would be addressed and handled based on that specific criteria to ensure that they had what they needed.
But nothing state subsidized for teachers right now that, that we know of?
Well, we pay into SDI. So,
right. But no special allowance.
There's nothing at this time. That doesn't mean that that won't occur down the road. Again, this is a very fluid situation, and benefits and things available constantly change. So we monitor that, and we make sure that that's communicated, and the senior team is fully well aware of that.
I just wanted to know if you knew something we didn't know. So
no, that's all we know right now.
I'm in general. I mean, specifically.
Well, let's just say every day about 5 o'clock our time, there is the LA city mayor always comes on and gives a brief update, followed by the governor. It's every single day there's more information coming out, and who knows what's going to come out tonight. I don't know, but we're paying very close attention to that and making sure we're applying this very fluid dynamic.
Okay.
Tanya, I have a question.
Yes.
Going back to the 10 days, is there... I'm assuming that there's going to be a difference between how the 10 days is set up versus the 5 days that they might get per year to differentiate so that they know which one they're actually taking. Do they have to say, I'm going to take one of my 10 days off versus one of my 5 days? Because if they leave spring, then they would not get credit for their 10 days.
Correct. Yeah, there are. We're tracking it differently. There's not to bore you with all the gory details of payroll and whatnot, but there's a different code that we're tracking this under. It's a one-time allotment. It's not accruing and doing all of that and changing each pay cycle. So with the time off request form, we have a specific category for this topic. So if they do want to take time off and they want it to apply to this 10 days, then they would fill it out accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there any criteria, Tanya? This is Charlene, for using these 10 days? I have a couple concerns. One of them, while it appears generous, I mean, it seems to me like, I don't know. Again, I'm not trying to micromanage you guys, but it seems like, you know, to make extra days available to everybody. But like somebody might need 3, but somebody might need 30. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just wondering, A, what's the criteria for them to actually use it? And are we taking it on a case by case? I mean, I guess I feel more comfortable with that just because it's, again, somebody might need 3, but somebody might need 30. And I'd rather give somebody 30 than say, well, you've only got 10.
Well, we're very cautious of an issue of equity. So in doing that, the 10 days was applied across the board, and Doug can follow up with this. You know, if someone needs additional time, HR works with them to see what that need is and to provide what's available or what's an option for them. During the actual crisis where shelter in place and school is not in session as we typically see, there are no questions asked for if someone needs this time. We're finding that there's a lot of unexpected type situations that people are facing, not only our students, but our staff. Anxiety is running high. this is an unprecedented situation. So people are already seeking the opportunity to use this. Yes, I may need one day, or you know what, after all this is over, I need 100. But there's other options available to me to meet that criteria. Bev, did you want to add anything?
Absolutely. Thank you, Tanya. You did a good job of describing that. I just want to add that while this is an amount of days that they have to help actually continue to ensure that they are getting paid when they can't work, there are other options that would be available if they've depleted any of the accruals that they actually have in their banks. And so we would be looking at whether or not they would be qualifying for a leave of absence. Now, that's unpaid leave of absence, but when they're on a leave of absence, they have the, especially if it's related to a disability, they have options for being able to supplement their pay through the state. So it's not, at this point, there are some things that have been brewing on the federal level, but the way that they actually designed the new law, that actually is only available to employers with employees, if they have under 500 employees. I believe that one of the things we'll have to watch and see, because there's a lot of traction with regard to this issue, is more options will be developed either at the state level or even at the federal level. I would guess probably more on the state level than the feds. But, you know, there are some paths for us to be able to help and assist our employees. And so this is not the only option. Hopefully that helps.
It does. Thank you. I'm wondering how that compares to other charter schools that we're in connection with, or even local school districts. Like, what are they doing? And not that we have to be better or worse than them. That's not my point. But I'm just kind of curious what, because I know up here in Orange County, I mean, nobody's really doing anything like that. And not to say we shouldn't, that's not my point. Is this, I'm just wondering what other charter schools are looking at in the same context. But also, I want to say before I shut up, is on, I think that it was very conscientious of you guys to think ahead about doing this.
Well, Charlene, I'm happy to answer that for you. Learn for Life, for instance, one of the larger charter networks in the country, they gave their employees 21 days. So that is over a month.
Yeah.
That we felt in good conscience that 10 days was appropriate for our organization. Now, traditional districts don't have to do this because, remember, they're under collective bargaining agreements. So I can tell you from many of the chief business officials that I know in the county and in the surrounding counties, as well as union leaders that I know that are within those districts, they're paid fully to sit at home and do nothing. So
they're already getting their days. So basically, this was our attempt to support our teachers and provide a good benefit to our teachers during this time when they might need it. But also, it will extend. I mean, people need sick days over years. Many of our employees, most of our employees, want to retire with us. And so they will have these days to use as they need to as a benefit for them. And because none of our employees stopped working, by and large, our employees continued to work through this. And so a lot of the other charters, the only charter that I know of that has given the days is Learn for Life. But the other charters I know of, like, for example, Classical Academy, is just off the top of my head. They actually just closed school and their teachers weren't doing anything for the past 2 weeks. So those teachers got 10 days. Well, I mean, this week and last week. So yeah, 10 days. And then they have spring break. And then when they come back from spring break, they're going to start school again, distance learning. And so they've already given everybody 10 days all at once. But then the kids had no support during that time.
That was
what they chose to do, but we chose to do it this way.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's interesting to talk to, you know, the local people here, my neighbors and whoever, the kids I tutor, and just how every school is doing it differently. So again, right. My point is, you know, I think it was part of you guys to think conscientiously about the employees. So thank you. That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question along the same lines too? So we're not losing out in any revenue whatsoever, right? We're still getting paid every penny that we were before, correct?
That's what our understanding is.
Correct.
The timing of it and how it's paid and the cash flow of it, we're still waiting to see how that's all going to play out.
Yeah, I spoke with a quote-unquote supposed expert on this, and that's what the way they explained it to me. But, you know, everybody is a self-proclaimed expert at this time, so... So we don't fall into the under 500 employees like requirement that just got passed, right? Because we have over 500 employees, and I think that more applies to more traditional businesses anyway, right? But let's say that for some reason we find out that we are not still getting paid. Are we eligible for the new SBA loans with the complete 100% forgiveness that? Because I think that the rule is something along the lines of if it's a 50% decrease in revenue year over year, right, then you can get 100% of that loan. And they said it's going to apply to supposedly, now nobody knows because it literally was just passed hours ago, right?
But
supposedly it's going to apply to nonprofits and other organizations as well. So I was just wondering if it did come down to that, would we be able to take advantage of that, whatever it is, $2 trillion or whatever it's available?
Well, Gene, you're totally right. That guidance just came out literally a few hours ago. The American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, which I'm a member of, sent that out. And for purposes of employment reason, we're really looked at as a single entity. But for business purposes, we could carve away the other five charters and apply that rule or attempt to apply that rule because they do meet that employee threshold for that aspect. So it is something that I looked at, and should we need to go down that path, certainly we'll do so.
Yeah, my ultimate goal here is, and I hope others are in agreement with me here, is to make sure that we don't have to lay anybody off or anybody goes without revenue. And if they need to take time, I mean, it's difficult, right, for example, right now to take the time. Let's say, for example, that you're a staff member that has a kid that now is at home that you have to now, you know, help homeschool as well. It's very difficult, right? So giving them those extra 10 days, I think, it's generous, but I think it's required. I think we have some sort of duty to give that to them, in my opinion.
That's what we think.
Yeah, thank you.
And in all fairness, too, just so the board knows, we do have, I've seen so far maybe a dozen employees who've elected not to take additional duties and to file for unemployment. So they have that flexibility to do that if they want. We're here to support them and do what we can do as we all navigate through this situation.
All right. Were there any other questions before we call for a vote?
Tanya, really? They have that option?
Oh, if they don't want to work, yes, there's some people that don't want to take the extra duties that are available to them, and so they rather would file for unemployment. Absolutely.
Like what do you mean by extra duties? I'm confused.
Well, if we've given them things, you know, you can log online and assist in tutoring students, or you can do this, or you could do that, but they would rather, because of whatever dynamic they're dealing with, they would rather just file for unemployment for that work stoppage during that time. We've had people do that as well.
Okay, I wasn't aware
yeah.
that was an option. Okay,
we have campus supervisors, we have custodians, we have people that really just can't work from home.
Right.
But we figured out a way to get everybody. We have options for them, but if they don't want to do any of those options, then they can't get paid. So, you know, but they, yeah, that's
yeah.
I think it. Opening the door for, I mean, generally the state of California, as far as unemployment, they're pretty liberal. They're not always going to side on an employer's side. They're going to probably side on, you know, the employee side. That's just the way it goes. And I think in this particular case, it's probably even more so. And so, you know, and also we wouldn't fight those kinds of situations. I think there are more of these discussions about unemployment when we were actually not in the stay-at-home order scenario. And so some people, like Kathleen said, still have to work. They're essential employees, and they have to actually physically go to work locations for springs. And so, you know, if they're feeling like the situation, you know, I can imagine this could pop up, although it hasn't. If they're feeling the situation is unsafe, they may try to go the route of unemployment. So you never know.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a motion and a second for Citrus. If we could go ahead and do a roll call vote. Say aye if you approve. Johnson?
I'm muted. Aye.
Yes,
okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, gotcha. Anzio? Charlene?
Aye. Sorry.
Thank you. Lauren Ruggie?
Aye.
Sarah Schlatter?
Aye, Sarah.
Mike Shurns? Are you there, Mike?
Aye.
Great. And Mike Solomon?
Aye.
Okay, great. Motion carries for Citrus. Empire, could I get a motion and then a second, please?
Motion, Michelle.
Second, Ivo Cowette.
Gotcha. Okay, great. And we'll do a roll call vote for you guys. Say aye if you support this. Cowette?
Aye.
Large?
Aye.
Mendez, I think Mendez Cantu had to leave.
No, I'm still here. Aye.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, Diane.
No problem.
Is your vote aye? Your vote is aye?
Aye, yes.
Great. Thank you so much. And Vila?
Aye.
Perfect. Thank you. Motion carries for Empire. River, could I get a motion, please?
I'll move.
Carl?
Yes.
Tom,
okay, great. Great. Thank you. And now let's do the roll call, please. Burke?
Aye.
Couch? Rachel, are you with us? Yeah, I'll confirm Rachel's vote before I count it.
Aye.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. Johnson?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
And Vila and Wadlington, I have written communication from both of them, so motion carries for River. Thank you. Okay, Harbor? Harbor's up. Could I get a motion?
I motion.
Second.
I'll take Ewan as the motion and Cheryl as the second. So now let's do the roll call for Harbor, please. Hawks?
Aye.
LeCount?
Aye.
Rivas?
Aye.
Swank?
Aye.
Great. Just confirming that Darrow and Moldenhauer are not with us. Is that correct? Okay, great. We'll take a motion and a second, please, for Pacific.
Motion.
Who was my second? Jean? Okay, great. Gotcha. All right. Roll call, please. Hawks?
Aye.
LeCount?
Aye.
Rivas?
Aye.
Swank?
Aye.
Very good. Okay. Motion carries for Pacific. Moving on to Vista. Could I get a motion, please?
A motion.
Okay, Ewan, gotcha. Second? Thank you. Roll call, please. Hawks?
Aye.
LeCount?
Aye.
Rivas?
Aye.
Swank?
Aye.
Great. Motion carries for Vista as well. All right, we're just on board comments. Anybody have any other than what we've expressed already?
I'll just keep rocking along. Great job, guys.
Thank you, Jean.
Yeah, I do. I have a one question. Is there any staff at any building at all?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can hear you.
We have originally when the shelter at home came into effect, we didn't understand exactly what essential staff was, but it's been clarified much greater now. So we have all of our custodians and campus supervisors are still working at the locations, actually. Originally, we thought they weren't going to be able to, but then they are considered essential employees because our centers might be vandalized or homeless people moving in or who knows what during this time if we abandoned our buildings. So in addition, we have to have food service out there to serve the food. So having some people there to keep the facility secure during those periods as well, when the food service people are there.
Okay.
Food service.
Yeah.
Food service and campus supervisors and custodians, facility people are still working at locations, but everybody else is working from home.
Okay, thank you.
Tanya or Amy, is there anybody else who's considered essential that I can mention?
I have not that I'm aware of, Kathleen. It's just for those essential services as you described.
Okay, thank you. That's really good to know. I want to say thank you for being proactive and closing down the school as hard as everybody else can.
Diane, could you mute your phone?
Sorry. And just for what you guys are doing in the midst of all this, and really proud of spring. That's what I want to say.
Awesome. Diane, I see that you were trying to make a comment. Go ahead if you could.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Now, I just want to thank the board, just the staff and the senior staff for just being so proactive. You guys have been great. It has been a little bit crazy, but seeing the staff continuing to work, giving them work, that's pretty cool. Seeing my student who is online with her teachers, with other students, and, with SPED teachers, it's been great. It's been a very positive experience through everything. I don't know if you can see where I'm at. I'm kind of in the middle of things right here. San Bernardino County Incident Management, and it's going to be a while that we're going to be activated. And I just really want to thank you guys just for, like I said, being so proactive, because this may go down quick. It may last a while. We don't know, but thank you for continuing and doing everything you can for our students and for the staff.
Thanks, Diane. Just anecdotally, I wanted to add, in terms of essential services employees, we had to do a letter to provide employees who are working at our sites or whatever, and someone was stopped at the I-15 Border Patrol and asked what they were doing. Unfortunately, they had their letter, so we were glad for that, but interesting times.
And I don't know if you heard my comment before, we do have 3 essential staff also in Bookmart, as they supply Chromebooks and books and materials for our homeschool keys and venture program. And they are doing a fantastic job. So wanted to add that in as well. And they also have their letters, and hopefully they won't be asked. But yes, it is starting to go around that people are being asked if they're essential, and they have that right in their car with them. So it's worked out great.
All right. Does anybody else have anything else to say?
Thank you, everybody, for coming today.
Thank you. We'll adjourn at 2:29. Good job, everybody. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.